Blog Talk Radio.
Give a shout out to everybody in the chat room, to Mike Hunt,
Ashley, Tony Ferrar, Gavin Moorhead. Welcome, brothers and sisters. You're always welcome here. Amen. All righty. Let's get into a prayer here. Lord God, we thank you for letting hosannas rise from people's hearts and for letting us cry out to you even more fervently in the dark times. Help us, Almighty God, and help your King, Jesus Christ, to his final victory. For he shall be victor, bringing grace, peace, and life, and victory for all that is good on earth as it is in heaven. He shall always be victor in our lives, enabling us to keep faith in trouble, fear, and need, yes, even death. Hosanna to the victor, Jesus Christ, the victor you have chosen. Almighty God, proclaim him on earth, and let all the people know he's on his way. To the glory of your name, we pray. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All righty. Well, I see I've got some callers already. I'll get those sitting there listening to the program. God bless you, callers. Okay. Well, before I get into the sermon and the Bible study tonight, I'm going to play some great gospel music here. So sit back and listen to it, and may you be blessed by them. Okay, we're going to play, the first song is going to be Grace, featuring Anthony Brown and Group Therapy and Kiara Sherrod. Okay, and then we're going to play Maybe God is Trying to Tell You Something by Mary Mary and Taraj P. Henson. And then we're going to play You Carry Me by Jacqueline Carr. Amen.
Someday I did it right, but I'll be the first to admit that most days I get it wrong. That's why my hands are always raised, and I always give God praise. I've been the perfect candidate for God's grace. Sometimes I think about where I would be. God's not to rescue in me. Even for a minute, he'd let me stay. The consequences of the choices I made, that's a very scary thought I'll say. That's why I'm the perfect candidate for God's grace.
Thank you.
some blessed songs there. Amen. All right. Well, actually, I got a caller here at the beginning of the show. Let's take it and see who we have. All righty.
Hey, Pastor. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I just wanted to ask you a question. What was the name of the second song you played?
The name of the second song?
Yes.
It was Maybe God Is Trying to Tell You Something by Mary Mary and Taraj P. Henson.
Oh, man, that was an awesome, awesome song right there. It brought back
my
soul.
Yes, it was.
Amen. Amen, brother. Okay, go ahead and preach. Preach on, my brother.
All righty, my brother. God bless you.
God bless you.
All righty. We're going to get into today's sermon. And it's titled Thriving. And it's taking it from Matthew chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In this previous chapter, I shared the fact that while we're here on planet Earth, we will, at some point in time, find ourselves going through some things. Life has a way of throwing the proverbial monkey wrench as, and sometimes messes up in more ways than one. The difference between someone coming out on the other side of going through is how the person responds to life's monkey wrenches. So one of the things we can do is wallow in our problems or obstacles, take on a defeated mentality, and just give up, or we can get up, shake it off, and make the most of what's happening that's coming to us. So, do this, we must have the right attitude, or even a change of attitude. The defeated person has made up their mind that they are already defeated. The defeated person has made up their mind that they will never get any better. The defeated person has made up their mind that they will never get any help. The defeated person has made up their mind that there's no hope for them. But on the other hand, the thriving person has made up their mind that defeat is not an option. The thriving person has made up their mind that whatever comes their way will be conquered. The thriving person has made up their mind to go after what is rightfully theirs. The thriving person has made up their mind that victory is imminent. So let me ask you a few questions. If or when you lose your job, do you stop living? If and when you lose a loved one, do you stop living? If and when you lose something near and dear to you, do you stop living? No. You understand that it's all a part of life cycle we're in, and you keep living. There are some who feel that life is over when these things happen. Yet the person who thrives sees things from an entirely different perspective. I would submit to you that the difference is a matter of attitude. It's an attitude that helps us to understand that God knows what's best for me and mine, and I'm willing to let him direct my path. We take an attitude that, according to Psalms chapter 119, verse 105, which says, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So God knows what's best, and that gives us a thriving attitude. In verses 3 and 5 of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is dealing with someone who is characterized as going through. Because all the things being added to them, and each one Jesus reminds them that in their going through, there was a promise of something better. So if they stuck it out, in the first three, something was coming at the individual, or there were a particular state of mind or being. In the next three verses, Jesus begins dealing with the individual who understands that the past is actually preparing them for the future and they need to do something to thrive. To those who hunger and thirst, let me ask you a question here. When you're at home or wherever, when you get hungry, what do you do? When you get thirsty, what do you do? Most people, when they get hungry at home, get up and go to the kitchen and find something to eat. Most people, when they are thirsty at home, get up in the kitchen and find something to drink. Most people, when they get hungry at work, if they don't bring lunch with them, they get up and go somewhere and get something to eat. My point being, they're not sitting around waiting for food to come to them in order to deal with their hunger. But they get up and do something. A person who thrives will not sit on the sidelines and wait for things to happen for them, but will get up and get moving and make something happen for them. So the text refers, will get up and get moving. Okay? The text refers to the one who has a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And that includes all righteousness. This is the person who wants to do what's right, even through wrong keeps coming at them. They made up their mind that they're going to be righteous in their dealings, do God's thing, God's way and not their own. And in this case, we strive to be more like Jesus. The preacher's outline of serving, Bible says, in the Bible, righteousness means two simple but profound things. It has a double meaning. It means to be right and to do right. It may be said another way, to be good and to do good. Here's what real we can be righteous on our own, because the Bible teaches us in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, which says, but we were all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf in our iniquities, like the wind have taken us away. King David said in Psalms chapter 51, verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Because sin has been passed down since Adam, we've got to change our attitudes and make things up in our mind that we will hunger and thirst after righteousness, thereby hungering and thirsting to be more like Jesus. The promise from the Lord is that if we have the hunger and thirst, we should be filled. So what will we be filled with? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 15, verse 14, we will be filled with goodness and all knowledge. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, we will be filled with the fullness of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, we will be filled with the Spirit. And in Philippians chapter 1, verse 11, we will be filled with the fruits of righteousness. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, we will be filled with the knowledge of His God's will. And in Acts chapter 30, verse 52, we will be filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So then, and only then, can we really thrive. Verse 7, those who are merciful. When somebody does something wrong to you from a natural perspective, it's difficult to forgive them or have mercy on them. You're hurting, you're devastated, you're not sure what has happened, so it's difficult to be merciful at the moment. To be merciful is to have a compassionate heart and a forgiving spirit. The person who is merciful makes a deliberate effort to understand the person who needs forgiveness. So if we are going to thrive, we've got to change our attitudes and begin to function and operate like Jesus. Because there will come a time when people will talk about you. There will be a time when people spread rumors on you. There will be a time when people will judge you wrongly. There will be a time when people will drag your name through the mud. There will be there will come a time when people will lie on you. And there will become a time when people will call you everything but a child of God. But the real question is, what do you do when this happens? Jesus says, here is the merciful and receive mercy. By definition, mercy comes from a Greek word which means feelings of pity, compassion, affection, and kindness. So when we show mercy to others, it will turn, come back to us. It is the principle of sowing and reaping found in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, which says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap." So there are benefits of showing mercy to others. The Bible tells us that you receive the mercy of God. You will be paid back when it was given by God himself. You will be blessed. You will inherit the kingdom of God. So when we start following the word of God and living in a manner that's pleasing to God, it is then that we start thriving. So let's look at those who were pure in the heart, verse 8. Another way for us to thrive is to be pure in heart. The preacher's outline in the Sermon Bible says that this means to have a clean heart, to be unsoiled, unmixed, unpolluted, and to be cleansed, purged, forgiven. The only way we can be pure in heart is to know Christ as our Savior and allow him to live through us. It requires us to make up our minds to live holy before God, forgetting those things behind, those things that have hurt us, and those who have messed over us, and those who have turned their backs on us. We can't succumb to doing things the world's way, but realize there's a better way with God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." So if we do it God's way, we can anticipate the blessings from God. The Bible also says in Psalm chapter 24, verse 45, "He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitful, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from God of his salvation." But the text tells us that we are pure in heart shall see God. What a promise that is. We can look forward to seeing God face to face, beholding his glory and his glory and his glory. We're told in Psalm chapter 17, verse 15, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake with my likeness." So can you imagine what it's going to be like? Walk up on the other side of eternity and seeing God face to face. It will happen for those who are pure in heart. So thriving requires us to get up and shake it off and get to stepping. You can't thrive if you're walking around with a defeated attitude. You can't thrive if you're taking out revenge on people who have offended or hurt you. And you can't thrive if your heart is not right. So even though Jesus was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, he had his mind set on thriving. You want to talk about thriving? Let's talk about what he endured. He was betrayed by a friend. He was sold for 30 pieces of silver. He was forsaken by his disciples. He was accused by false witnesses. He was mocked and beaten. He was pierced in his hands and feet. He was crucified between two thieves. He was the object of ridicule. He was deserted or forsaken by God. He died on Calvary's cross. He didn't just stay in the grave, but got up early on Sunday morning with all the power in his hands. So if you're going to thrive, you've got to get help. Maybe you might need to get up and praise God. Maybe you might need to get up and worship God. And maybe you need to get up and tell him, "Thank you." Maybe you might need to get up and say, "Hallelujah." And this ends today's sermon on thriving. And I hope that you got something by this sermon on thriving and can follow and be as God's disciple. Amen. All righty. Well, let's get into today's Bible lesson. It's Luke chapter 19. And speaking the truth in love. So what does it mean to speak the truth in love? This is an important question for Christians to think about and will serve as a focal point for today's lesson. We'll begin today's lesson in the book of Luke with a fascinating exchange that took place between Jesus, the scribes, and the Pharisees. In Luke chapter 20, verses 1 through 8, on one of the days while he was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes with the elders confronted him, and they spoke, saying to him, "Tell us by what authority you are doing these things, or who is the one who gave you this authority?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "I will ask you a question. Can you tell me, was the baptism of John from heaven or from men?" They reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us to death, for they are convinced that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know where it came from. And Jesus said to them, "Nor will I tell you by what authority I do these things." So Jesus knew that this question would be hard for them to answer. If they answered from heaven, they knew that Jesus would say, "Why did you not believe him?" And if they answered from men, they feared they would be stoned to death by the people who believed correctly that John was a prophet. So always be truthful. If the scribes and Pharisees always spoke the truth, their answer would have been easy. But sadly, that was not the case. Instead of answering honestly according to their beliefs, they calculated which answer they thought would benefit from the most before speaking. Regardless of whether it was true or not, this is not the way that Christians are supposed to behave. As Christians, we are commanded to tell the truth. It is our responsibility to say what is right, true, and pure. The words that we speak should be honest, glorifying God, and building up others. So the truth matters. Telling the truth should always be a priority for Christians. This is what we are commanded to do. One of the fastest ways to lose credibility as a Christian is to be caught up in a lie. The secular world loves to point out any hypocritical acts that are done by Christians. So fortunately for us, if we are speaking the truth in love, we never have to worry about that. Bible verses about speaking the truth. As we reflect on the importance of speaking the truth, consider these following four verses. Proverbs 12, verse 22, lying lips are abominations to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, therefore laying aside falsehood, speak truth to each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And John chapter 18, verse 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 19, truth lips will endure forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. So let all that you do be done in love. Apostle Paul wrote the following words in his letter to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14, let all you do be done in love. This scripture refers both to the words that we use and how we use them. Our words matter. They are powerful. With them, we can build people up, but we can also cut them down. James wrote in chapter 3, verse 8 to 10, no one can tame the tongue, but it is restless, evil, and full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men who are made in likeness of God. From the same mouth comes both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. So notice the strength in the words that James uses in this writing. He refers to the tongue as a restless evil and a deadly poison. But let us conclude. The words that Christians speak must satisfy the following two criteria. They must be truthful. They must be delivered in love. And as God brings people into our lives, we need to be mindful of the things we say to them and how we say them. Our words should build up people, not tear them down. Our words should be honest and spoken with the love of Jesus. We will end this lesson with the following verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ. Amen. I hope you got this lesson. You got something from this lesson today. And you try to do that. Amen. Well, if you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you have a chance to do so right now. Just simply say this prayer after me. Say, "Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I'm a sinner, and I am so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. And I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary and died for my sins. And I'm now willing to turn from my sin. You said in your holy word in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if we confess the Lord of God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. And according to his word, right now I am saved. Well, if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry would like to welcome you to the family of God. We'd like to see him, and the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. And we would like you to call in to God's Rainbow Ministry by calling this number. And it's 657-383-1487. Once again, that's 657-383-1487. Press that one key, and we will bring you on, and you can tell us that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior tonight. Amen. Like I said, remember, if you want to come on the air, press that one key, and I'll bring you on. All righty. Well, I've got callers, but no one has pressed the one key as of yet, except for one gentleman that I got at the beginning of the service, and bless him dearly. Amen. Well, I'm going to play some music again. Oh, you hear me in that beeping? Okay, there we go. All right. Well, let's play some good music here. We'll play Simple Matter by Travis Green and Forward City. And we'll play Yahweh by Jason Nelson featuring Melvin Crispell III. And then we'll play He Is by Volney Morgan and in the New Year. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. anything crazy. You don't have to run around the church 7 times and cry victory just.
When you've lost everything, it feels like everything has failed. May I encourage you to try Jesus.
To crush the light of the pain gone away in a single day. Voice like a pain to the way he makes us feel inside. I'm so glad you're mine.
Refuse all the past things still working your life to exert my command and my grace over you to bring highest heart's desire and greatest dream fulfilled on the very ground where you buried your hopes and extinguished your dreams. Do you trust me? Then let me take it from here. Make a decision to go where I lead and accept that even through challenges come, it will look like you're going to get hurt once again. I will never leave you and never forsake you, and I will never relent until my perfect plan is brought about the full manifestation of life and more abundantly in your situation. Amen. And this goes out to those who need it, and you know who you are.
Amen, man. Amen. Am I still on the line?
Yes, you are, sir. You are.
Oh, my God.
I didn't introduce you. Yeah.
Okay.
So what did you think about today's service, sir?
Oh, man. Oh, it was so, so good. I haven't heard that type of preaching in a long time.
Well, I'm glad you're back, sir. I'm glad you're back. How's your day been?
Oh, it's been okay. Went to the flea market and bought some stuff and tried to get a deal. You know, they try to stiff you. You know, they want like $10 for something that you could get for $2.
Really?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a flea market.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, flea market, you get everything on wholesale. But they were retail.
Wow.
Yeah, you gotta tell them, you know. So I got some stuff. You know, I got some hats and all that stuff, you know.
All right.
Yes, sir. I was gonna say, when did you get your when you get your preaching and all that?
I was ordained many, 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 many years ago, sir. And it was done in the church. I started in the Baptist religion. And then kind of went non-denominational.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. I don't want to get into your business, but were you gay at that time?
Back then, no, I wasn't. Okay? I wasn't.
Can I ask you a personal question? What made you turn gay?
Huh?
What made you turn gay?
You know, to tell you, I really don't know. I guess I fell in love with a person that was another man, and you know, I believe love is love.
Okay. Yeah, you had to go to the YMCA. It's also, you know, people pack it, but. Good, man.
I've never been to a YMCA. Never been there.
Okay.
Well, we got some other callers there, sir. Let me take them and see who we have. We got a 304 number here. Okay. Let's take it and see who we have.
Hello?
304.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi, Pastor Ken. It's Art Hammond. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. How about you?
I'm doing good. Now, Pastor Ken, I got to ask a question. So the thing is that I've been considering potentially, like, converting to Christianity, but I was wondering, so how many crosses do I need in my backyard, and how many of them do I need to burn?
You don't need to burn any crosses or put crosses up on your backyard to become a Christian. All you got to do is accept Jesus Christ in your heart.
All right.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Jesus realizes that I basically had a problem in my basement, and I've basically been torturing them relentlessly, especially a bunch of these people that I think they seem a little bit brown. I don't know. I think, and also I've been wearing this white robe. I mean, and been going to these meetings for the past few weeks too. I think they're called clan meetings. And what we do is, I think we burn a bunch of crosses. That's what we do. And some of the crosses are upside down, but some of them are right side up. And we get a bunch of the people that are, I think, are brown, and we tie them to the crosses, and then we burn them while they're tied to the cross.
Oh, no.
That's not good. Bring back memories, man.
Oh. We also say, white power! White power! White power!
Oh, God. You're bringing back memories.
Art Hammond, you need to get Christ in your life. I'm sorry about that, caller. Okay?
Oh,
I guess he's full of hate.
I'm an old fella, you know, and so I remember those days. You know? I remember them.
Yeah.
Like it was yesterday.
Well, let's take another caller here. See who we have. Okay, it was nobody. Just one of them echo callers. We got a bunch of callers that are in the queue, and they haven't pressed the one key yet. Okay, so I'm going to give a shout-out, okay, to Waffham, Alabama, and his kinfolk. I want to say God bless you. May God always keep you highly favored. Amen. Oh, we got some callers.
1-1.
All right, I guess that's it. All righty. Well,
I'm going to
say God bless
man.
Everybody. Okay? Thank you for coming into the chat room and participating. Okay, people that have been in the chat room. Okay? And, sir, you're always welcome to call here. Okay?
Thank you.
God bless
you. My name is Arthur. Arthur. Thank you so much.
Amen. All righty. I'm going to end this, and maybe I'll be back tomorrow. We'll see. Amen. God bless everybody. Have a wonderful night. Okay? Oh, wait a minute. Got one more caller. Just press the one key. Let's check him and see what we got. 1-1, you're on there.
Radio. You are now in the host queue.
Okay. Well, I don't know why the people are doing it. 1-1, you're on here. Hello? All right. Okay, that's it. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Don't talk about crosses, man. Come be back memories.
Amen. That's depressing our hearts. Amen.
Amen. Don't burn the crosses. I remember when they stick up little boy and burn it up like barbecue. You know, that was sad. That was on the newspaper. Those days, you know, and they just bring back memories, you know. They with Little Billy, man, and they took him and burned him. You know, some of them got lynched. Just bring back memories, man.
All right, sir, I'm going to say good night.
Okay,
good night, everybody.